We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Turner is your artist of the day. It is her 80th birthday, believe it or not.
I would not want to get in a fight with Tina Turner. She is fit.
I wouldn't want her to kick me, that's for sure.
She is not as fit, however, as an 82-year-old woman named Willie Murphy.
Oh, Willie Murphy.
Have you heard about Willie?
A man broke into the Rochester, New York home of an 82-year-old woman. It did not end well for him. Willie Murphy said she was getting ready for bed on Thursday night when a man began pounding on her door, urging her to call an ambulance for him. Murphy told WHAM-TV she called the police but wouldn't let the man in her house. Then she said he became angry and broke through the door. It's kind of semi-dark. And I'm alone. And I'm old. But guess what? I'm tough. He picked the wrong house to break into.
I'm alone and I'm old, but guess what? I'm tough. And you want to know what happens? He picked the wrong house to break into. I took that table and I went to working on him. And guess what? The table broke and it had metal legs and I'm jugging him.
She's what?
Jugging him.
And it had metal legs, and I'm jugging him.
Willie Murphy can deadlift 225 pounds. Quote, he picked the wrong house to break into.
The man was put into an ambulance and taken to the hospital.
And I'm jugging him.
I love this last quote in the story. I think he was happy when he went in the ambulance. Because I sent him in the ambulance. Yes, I did.
She was featured on the Today Show last year for her record-setting participation in the World Natural Powerlifting Federation. At the time, she was 81, mm-hmm. weighed 105 pounds, and stood 5 feet tall.
Yeah, she weighed over 200 pounds a decade ago.
Oh, and then she went all fit? Uh-huh. She told Today she began powerlifting in her mid-70s, so she could stay healthy, fit, and independent.
And I'm jugging him.
The officers that came to the door wanted to go on my front porch and take selfies with me, she said. I love that the guy asked her to call an ambulance.
Well, he was probably in a lot of pain after she was jugging.
And I'm jugging him.
Well, I don't want to be...
That sounds like something we shouldn't be saying on the radio, but...
I've never heard that word. I don't know what it means. She's 82 years old and hilarious, and I love her.
I feel bad saying it. I feel like there's, you know... I think it feels uncomfortable to say.
It either means like she took the metal legs and was trying to poke him with them, or was hitting him with it.
Seen the interview, okay? She looks like in the interview she's pushing a push broom. You know, Sam, you've seen it.
Yeah, I think she was jabbing him.
She meant jabbing because she's doing this like she's pushing a push broom on him.
Okay.
And then she poured shampoo in his face.
I asked Dan the proper spelling of that word, and he couldn't come up with anything.
I do not know.
Don't believe it's an actual word. So he says it's not that funny.
It's Granny's Gone Wild.
It's awesome.
And I'm jugging him.
You got to look her up. You got to see. She in the photo is you know.
Oh, she's fit.
What do you call doing that with her biceps?
Flexing her
biceps. She's flexing her biceps. She is fit.
Yeah, there's no body fat on there.
I picked the wrong house.
Picked the wrong house.
Leave Willie Murphy alone.
You're going to roll one over on an 82-year-old woman.
Nope.
Not up in here.
She said, I did a number on that man. Yes, you did, Willie. Yes, you did.
And then she says, I bet he was happy to be in that ambulance because I put him there. Yes, I did.
He was happy to be in that ambulance because it meant that she couldn't get in and get him anymore.
She couldn't be juking him anymore.
Exactly,
that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the whooping was over.
My other favorite story of the day that we will post on the KMBZ Facebook page. If you have not seen the California woman who is pregnant, she lost her late father this past year and a half ago, I think, very suddenly. And she says she sees his image in her ultrasound photo. And if you have not seen the photos side by side, it is uncanny. She has a photo of her father with her first baby. And when you put that side by side with the ultrasound photo, it looks like the same man is leaning in and kissing this baby.
Can I see it?
Do you I'll show you side by side. Hang on. You got to see it to believe it. I mean, it is.
Sometimes, and I'm not trying to poo-poo on the story, but I think sometimes people see things they want to
see.
And don't necessarily.
No.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
All I can see is the ultrasound photo right now. You got to see him side by side because that's the photo that's just absolutely crazy. He always wore a ball cap.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see the nose shape is the same.
Oh,
the ball
cap is the same.
His face structure is the same. We'll post that on our Facebook page.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It looks like...
No, I saw it immediately.
The dad.
Yeah.
It does.
It does look like him.
I'll put that on our Facebook page, too.
You got a big night ahead of you tonight. Where are you going?
I do. I'm going to the Kansas City Chamber dinner event where they are going to name the Kansas Cityan of the Year.
Okay.
Excited about that.
That's a big award.
I'll put that on Twitter when they make that announcement. And Rob Riggle is the MC.
Do we know who the nominees are?
No.
Okay.
No. It's a big surprise announcement later tonight, and our very own Rob Riggle of Saturday Night Live fame and beyond is the MC for that tonight.
So wait, we don't even know who the nominees were?
No, I think it's just a big surprise announcement. They named the Kansas Cityan of the Year. Mm. I don't think it's like, here's 10, here's who we chose.
So it's not like the Grammys or something.
No, they pick one person. It's a huge honor, of course. Huge honor.
How did you get invited and I didn't? No, I don't know. That's why I asked.
You don't go to any of these things. I go to a lot of these things. I'm excited. The mayor's going to be there. It will be thousands of people will be in the audience for Rob. And I think he emceed last year, and he's back by popular demand.
You didn't answer my question. How did you get invited and I didn't? You can say it.
I don't know. I just did.
Is it kind of a snowball effect where you start going to a couple of these things and then...
Don't give her an easy out.
Yes.
You get on the mailing list.
That is it. It is the snowball effect.
That's garbage.
How much of it has to do with the fact that when Scott is seen in public, he's usually wearing flip-flops and shorts?
Right up there.
Is that really it?
No! No! Do you want to go?
Do they think that I'm not prestigious enough
to go
to this event?
I think that you dress very comfortably and that is completely fine.
I have nice clothing if I choose to wear it, but I choose not to.
No one looks at you when you're walking into the grocery store and goes, you know, I want that guy at my gala.
It's okay. I love that you dress comfortably. I do too on most days. And when I walk in wearing a dress like I am today, you say, what do you got going on tonight?
Well, I don't want to be in their gala. Screw the chamber.
And that's also another way to make sure that you don't get invited.
Kind of is.
Yeah. How's the view up there on your cross, Parks?
All right.
It's pretty bloody, actually.
Speaking of bloody, when we come back.
Screw the chamber.
Fox
you tell my
4
son that.
Did a story last night that I knew you would find interesting, Scott.
I'm hurt.
About violence against nurses.
Mm.
They say it is an epidemic, and I want to talk about that, and I want to hear from our nurses who are listening when we come back.
All right. 576-7798. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
And I'm jugging him.
Every girl crazy about a shark dance man.
Dana, somebody on the text line wants to know, in preparation of the event tonight and somebody being named Kansas Citian of the Year. Just in case it's you, have you already written your speech?
Negative. It has to be someone who lives in Kansas City.
Oh, it has to be somebody who lives in the city itself?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I think it'd be the Leeward mayor.
Well, this entire show just got eliminated from consideration.
Why? Because she's putting in her curlers now?
No, I'm saying the entire show. None of us live in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay, Sam Stevie, still in the mix. I mean, it's a long shot.
Okay. Could you focus, please? Because I have a whopper of a story up next.
And what, we're the curlers talk about are nurses. Back?
Yeah, they're back.
Just, I hadn't seen you, and I just looked up, and you've got, you look like Minnie Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
a young Minnie Pearl, but Minnie Pearl nonetheless.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Minnie Pearl had the hat with the tag.
Yeah, but
on.
I think she also walked around. Who was it walked around in curlers?
Oh, it was... It was the gal that was in the Hee Haw sketch with the...
I get the reference.
It was Ronnie Stoneman. That's who it was.
Well, Ronnie Stoneman.
I get the reference. Shut up.
Okay. According to the American Nurses Association, one in four nurses nationwide is either verbally or physically assaulted in their career. I don't find the verbally hard to believe.
I wish they would separate out the verbal mm-hmm. and the physical.
Yeah. Nurses in the Kansas City metro and across the country now say violence in the workplace from patients and their families is happening every single day. According to the U.S. GAO, 70% of workplace assaults, 70% between 2011 and 2013 happened in healthcare and social service settings. And nurses and their nurse assistants were the most likely to be injured in assaults in the workplace. Quoting here from Cindy, a nurse of more than 20 years, I've been punched. I've been swung at many, many, many times. I've been verbally assaulted in a way that I will never forget. By the way, all these women are using fake names. Monica, another Metro nurse, can't forget the recent attack by a patient that endangered the life of her unborn baby. I was about 24 weeks pregnant, and a patient came into the ER that was most likely intoxicated, and she punched me right in the stomach. When I told her I was pregnant, she instantly knew that. You could see it on her face that it wasn't right, but then proceeded to say some really nasty stuff about the outcome of my baby.
Wow.
She said patients have threatened her life more times than she can count.
So a couple of years ago, a nurse who... was struck by a dementia patient, agitated, older dementia patient, started a foundation called Silent No More. And she started it because she heard that it is, in fact, one out of four nurses who are assaulted on the job. And, you know, there are photos of her with a bloody nose. What does it say that the problem is so bad they've started a foundation for it, and that there weren't any nurses willing to speak with their face on camera about it? And I don't begrudge them that they wanted their identities kept secret.
Sure.
But if this is such a problem, the organizations where these men and women work should be saying, absolutely scream this from the rooftops. Help us figure out how to stop this. It is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sad that the problem is bad, and yet the women who spoke with Channel 4 felt like they couldn't use their names or faces.
You know, I'd like to hear from those of you in the audience who are nurses. And you don't have to give your real name if you're not comfortable doing that. I understand. But what have you experienced at work? And the verbal abuse, I totally understand. I'm not condoning it, but I totally understand it. You're dealing with people who have dementia, people who are intoxicated, whatever. It's the violence that I guess I just wasn't aware of. But what have you seen? What have you experienced at your work? And let's not just limit this to nurses. If you're in another profession, police officers.
But on the Silent No More Foundation, Scott, and absolutely police officers face this every day. But there's a woman who is a nurse who happens to be married to a corrections officer, okay?
Ooh,
she is a registered nurse. She says, I have a tablet and a stethoscope. It is more likely that I will be hurt on the job or assaulted than him. Mm-hmm. He has pepper spray. He has a bulletproof vest. He has others there to back him up. He has the right to defend himself. Studies show over and over again that violence against healthcare workers has become a rising epidemic.
Well, 70% of all complaints, according to the Missouri Nursing Association, comes from nurses. We say, yeah, I was assaulted at work. What's your profession? Nurse. Oh, yeah, okay, of course. 576-7798. Brandon and the others, hang tight. We'll get to everybody as soon as we can. 576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie III. She's Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. You know, nobody wants to show you how. So if you're lost and on your own, you can never surrender. And if your path won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the Corey Hart from 1985, I believe it was. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Never had this question asked on the text line. What is your phone number? I give it out about 5,000 times a day.
Maybe they just moved here today.
My wife wants to call in. She's a registered nurse and has been attacked. The phone number is 576-7798, and it doesn't matter what area code you use, 576-7798.
If you look into this Silent No More Foundation on Facebook about all of the nurses who have joined and shown themselves in hospitals because they've been assaulted, one of the things that they are trying to do is get legislation state by state with these things mandated to protect nurses, okay? Assault against any healthcare worker must be a felony. No less than 2 law enforcement officers must be present with offenders who are in a hospital. Facilities must provide locator badges equipped with panic buttons so that nurses can signal for help if they are in an enclosed space with someone who, you know, starts to assault them.
Sure.
And then this one, there must be anti-retaliation protections in place so that healthcare workers can receive the same basic rights as any other assault victim, the right to report to law enforcement. What I'm seeing in this story, and it's on nurses.org, is it's one of the most underreported crimes, Scott, because nurses feel like they cannot press charges.
It almost sounds like, maybe I misunderstood, but the way you read it, there's a lot of protections for the would-be assailant. You know, it has to be a felony.
Right.
Two police officers have to be there or arrive to handle the alleged crime. I mean, why? If I get beaten with a baseball bat walking home from work, does there need to be 2 police officers that show up before I can file a complaint?
Well, let me ask you this. What if you are in an Alzheimer's ward?
That's a tough one, Dana, because, and you and I were talking about this.
They don't know who you are, why they are there.
Well, they don't know who they are.
They are aggressive in some cases.
Yeah, Dana, I don't know. And you asked me that question during the break, and I still have the same answer. How do you criminally charge somebody who doesn't even know their own name? Let's go to Brandon in Clinton. Hello, Brandon. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
Anytime.
Yeah, I've been a nurse for about 5 years, and most of that time has been long-term care or nursing homes like you were just talking about. And especially with the Alzheimer's patients, it is difficult. I've been punched. They're confused. You know, you learn to duck and dodge a lot. And those I have less a problem with because they honestly don't know what they're doing. I don't hold it against them. You know, they're scared.
Yeah.
They don't know what happened. What I have a problem is I spent some time working in a hospital for about 6 months, and my wife had she worked there with me, also a nurse, and she had, you know, patients throwing things at her. We're not talking like, you know, paper. We're talking like cleaning products or their skin care products, which are kind of heavy, phones thrown at you. And the hospital tends to kind of, depends on the hospital, but they tend to kind of want to make it go away because they don't want people to, they don't want the nurses to sue because then they're involved in litigation and it can cause, they're worried about their bottom line.
Mm.
And in the nursing home, even to some degree, they kind of say, well, you signed up for it. I said, no, I signed up understanding things can happen, and I know how to be safe around certain patients. But they also tend to look at it as, I think the average pay in a nursing home is like $200 a day minimum. So it's a $6,000 a day. They're looking at that patient's gone. I mean, a month. You know, they're looking at their bottom line. If that patient leaves because of this issue, we lose this much per month. How do we replace that money?
Oh.
So, you know, every time you get rid of a patient, you're losing X amount of income. If you're, it's a dollar thing more than anything. And I think someday nurses will have a union, and then the hospitals and the nursing homes are going to be sorry.
Hang on just a second there, Brandon. Not making a comment one way or another about unions. Do nurses not have a union right now?
Most places don't have unions. The place that I happen to work at does have a union for the CNAs, the nursing assistants, but not for the nurses. Most nurses don't have unions. And I've heard of a few, but no, they don't. And with things like this going on and getting tired of it, I see more and more leaning towards that coming someday. Fight, you know, something to fight back on an equal level.
Yeah. All right, but hey, have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, you take care of yourself. Thank you. Jack in Topeka. Jack, good afternoon. Hello.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing quite well. Thank you.
So I work at a prison facility, and I am the clinic officer. Despite what the conditions that other individual spoke of, we do not have spray with us. We do not have stab vests. I have a radio and I have cuffs. My primary duty is to make sure my nurses are safe, bottom line. And it is difficult. We get a lot of individuals, like the gentleman before was saying, we get a lot of individuals that are out of their mind. They have no idea what's going on. They might be coming down off of drugs. We had an individual for quite some time that had early onset dementia. No idea who that person was anymore. They have a tough job. They have to maintain the highest standards of care while at the same time being ready, because these are individuals who have clearly demonstrated a past history of violence and poor decision making. It's a very difficult job to do.
So what's the solution then?
One of the solutions is that legislation that they were talking about. If I make a point of clarification, it's not to police officers to file a report. It's two police officers or corrections officers there while the individual is being seen.
That's what they want. They want them there while they're being seen.
Yes, okay. And that's just extra safety right there. That's just another body in there to make sure that if something happens, we get in between you and that person who is being psychotic. Yeah.
Well, but the only problem I could find with that is it's not just people in corrections facilities or in late-stage dementia care facilities. We're talking about nurses who are in the ER.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an incredible cost to bear if you have to have two police officers present every time a nurse goes to see a patient, right?
I don't know about how it is in Missouri, but I do know that in Topeka, our hospitals do have a security force of their own. They do carry weapons. They do have vests. Maybe it is time that they beef them up a little bit more so they have enough on scene, sir, should
fair, Jack, individuals happen. Jack, fair argument, but what I'm saying is, I'm not arguing with you at all, but let's say at KU Medical Center, okay? There's a nurse on the fifth floor who is seeing, you know, two or three patients on any given shift, and in the middle of the night, the patient needs help getting to the restroom. Or needs, you know, is having a headache and wants two Advil or whatever. I mean, it would be cost prohibitive for that nurse to say, I'll be right there, Mr. Johnson. Hang on just a second.
Yeah,
I need two cops
but
up here.
But every
I'm about
single
to give-
time. Which is why they need a panic button on their lanyard.
Like to think that should they have individuals where they feel that they need that level of supervision with them, that they will have already pre-reported that. That there would be some sort of sign or some sort of issue when they came in, got admitted and whatnot. Hey, this one's a live wire. Let's go ahead and enact security protocols. Let's put them on this specific floor where we have a security presence. Anytime you all are heading into that room, our people are there with you.
Right.
Okay.
And Scott, you're right. Thank with you, the ER. I hadn't even thought about that. That's where you're going to get the, you know,
you
belligerent, whacked out on PCP, you know, guys that think they can take on
just got in a car accident.
40 people. Yeah. Yeah.
And that PCP is crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like, it gives you like superhuman strength.
You can't, police will tell you, you can't stop them.
Mm-hmm. They got no brain and a lot of muscles. Tasha in Raymore. Hello, Tasha.
Hi.
Hi.
I work everything from doctor's office, hospitals, Alzheimer's units. The problem is you get a patient that hits you, you can't hit them back.
Right.
Whether, you know, you're in a doctor's office or whatever, and it's not always the ones that are the Alzheimer's patients. It can be anybody. And you have no right.
Well, you can hit them back once.
No, you can't.
I can say the F word on the radio once.
Right.
You'd
be fired. Tasha, why do you think more nurses don't report it when they are assaulted?
It's not going to do any good. Because they'll say, well, they weren't in their right mind at the time.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter where you're at.
Well, but Tasha, if I'm not in my right mind and I stab Scott 6 times in his face, jeez, I'm still going to prison. They're not going to say, well, she wasn't in her right mind when she did that.
Well, they'll put you in a prison, but you'd be in a medical psychological one. Psychiatric unit.
I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm not feeling well or I'm out of my mind is an appropriate defense for assault and battery against a healthcare worker. Now, maybe in the case of Alzheimer's, you could say they actually do not have any idea what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just got someone coming in who's high or drunk and belligerent and punches a nurse, I don't think anyone can say, well, you know, we're not going to press charges because they weren't in their right mind. Battery's battery, dude.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
That stab you in the face 6 times thing kind of came out of nowhere. And I'm wondering if that is some pent-up.
The first example that came to my head.
Was stabbing me in the face 6 times?
Well, I was looking at you and I just thought, what would be really bad? Okay, that's really bad.
Were you thinking, what would I really want to do?
No, Thursday's Thanksgiving.
That sounded like some pent-up frustration coming out.
What she really wants to do is stab you in the face 7 times.
7 times, but she went with 6, so it didn't sound as
bad. Right.
Got it. That kind of came out of nowhere, kid.
You know what I was trying to say.
At least the scars will blend in.
Oh, wow!
This, but late, but still great. Tom Petty. Hey, we're back tomorrow for a full 4-hour show. So if you're out running some errands or getting ready for Thanksgiving, we would love to have you tune in and maybe join the program if you'd like. Melanie in Leavenworth. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Melanie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm Melanie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, about nurses being assaulted, yes. I have been assaulted. I have been spit in the face. I've been hit on, kicked. Recently in July, I was just kicked really hard in the stomach by a patient because I did not give them lactulose, which is something to make you go to the restroom, even though they had already been to the restroom twice. So I did file charges. I had to drop them because I had an emergency in my family, but nobody stands behind you. Nobody was there for me. I was doing it on my own.
It's just expected that it's part of your job, Melanie?
I guess. It's sad. I feel like if somebody assaults you, then, you know, they should have charges brought on them no matter what.
And are you still working?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you say, just a point of clarification here, Melanie, when you say you were hit on, are you saying romantically or like somebody physically hit you?
Both. You can be both.
Both.
Let me tell you, we get it all. You have no idea. We get it all.
I have heard, Melanie, do you work with an older population?
Well, both. I worked in critical care for many, many years, and so now I have a different job, but I also am working ER. So, yeah, it's all the above.
Well, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. I hope you know that.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it takes a special person to be a nurse because of all the stuff that we have to endure. And there are police there. I can't tell you countless times that I've called the police to come help us, you know, and they do, but it's in the facility. But if you do file assault charges, you don't have backup. It's like you're going to do it on your own.
You're saying the hospital's not going to back you up?
The one that I was at.
Okay. Didn't. All right. Well, Melanie, you take care of yourself, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right, God bless.
I have heard from people who have worked over the years in elder care that another side issue, which is why I asked when she said I was hit on and hit upon, is the sexual harassment with some older male patients to the female nurse.
Now, is that...
The little grabby.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, where everyone just kind of rolls their eyes. Well, he's 85. What are you going to do?
That's what they did with George H.W. Bush. Remember, he was a butt grabber.
He was a butt grabber.
And people were like, well, you know, that's
whole president. It's just what he does, you know, and it's not okay. You should not have to go to work and put up with that.
I'm not saying it's okay.
But nurses do.
I'm not saying it's okay, but you're dealing with somebody who is old. Okay, now do not read this the wrong way.
Be careful.
Who came from a different time.
Still not okay.
Agreed. Who may not know who he is or where he's from. And I'm not saying it's okay for, you know, Grandpa Alzheimer's to grab your butt. But I'm saying Grandpa Alzheimer's doesn't know who you are.
Right.
Or who, I told this story to a friend here at work today. Dementia's a weird thing. And tragic, no doubt about it. But I still to this day remember going down to see my grandmother about 8 years ago in Phoenix. And my brother was always her favorite. And the two of us flew down to Phoenix together because my mom called and said, you know, I think grandma's, you know, she's getting there. Good. She's not going to make it much longer. Maybe you and your brother need to go down there and see her. So we walk into the nursing facility where she was being treated and she had early onset dementia. And we walk in and she goes, I mean, it was like a light had just been turned on in her brain.
She said, hey, Scott?
No. She said, Stephen, I'm so glad that you came to see me. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. You know, grandma's having a moment where of lucidity. It's great. And my brother goes over there and gives her a hug. And he's like, Grandma, how are you? He kisses her on the cheek and everything. And then he stands up and steps back a second. And my grandmother goes, who's your friend?
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh. Those were the last words my grandmother ever said.
That's your second favorite.
No. No, actually, there were four of us, four grandkids. I was number four on the list with a bullet. Like, there was my brother, Eric, Michael, and then way down here was me.
Who are you?
Yeah. Who's your friend? Oh. Grandma, let's go have some tapioca. Shut up. John, calling in from on the road. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
There's a lot of... John, I'm just going to be honest with you, man, because we got about a minute left in the show. There are a lot of question marks next to your name.
Yeah?
That means we have no idea what you're calling about.
I'm going to talk to you real quick about the patient's perspective on this. I know the nurses, they got a hard job, and I wouldn't want their job, but my job also is a hard job. And when I was in the hospital, I had the GI operation, the third GI operation for the stress I'd get from being over the road.
Gastrointestinal, yes.
Yeah. So as I'm laying down there in bed, I'm pushing my button for some pain medication. Now, the nurses have been slacking off, usually getting about half an hour to 45 minutes late, giving me my dose of painkiller.
Yeah.
So now I press the button. 45 minutes later, the nurse comes in. And my arm is shaking. I'm holding it down. And she's telling me, well, you know what? You better stop shaking. I'm not going to give you your medication. This is a 20-year-old. I'm nearly 60, okay? I'm not going to be treated like a little kid saying, hey, if you don't fall down, I'm not giving you your lollipop.
All right, hey, I got to stop you only because we're late to the news. I do appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. May God bless all of you. If we don't get to see you tomorrow, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Monday. We're here tomorrow, but if we don't see you tomorrow, we'll be back on Monday. Have a great night. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we are all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.